authentic selfhood is gained by surrender, not by self-assertion.
Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. Today, I want to take off from an advertisement that was sent to me by my friend, Judy Palpant. Judy lives in Spokane, and she and I think, are pretty much on the same wavelength, and she often sends me clippings of things that she knows will stand my hair on end, as they probably have hers. And I have to put in a parenthesis here that, as a grandmother, I can't help praying that maybe some of the Palpant children will marry some of the Shepherd children. My grandchildren's name is Shepherd, and I'm praying for their spouses. You can be sure that I start praying for Christian spouses for each of them from the day they're born. And I do pray that the Lord will be preparing their spouses in Christian homes. And Judy and Sam have a Christian home and three beautiful children. So thanks, Judy, for sending me this clipping. It's an advertisement for a new book called Too Good for Her Own Good: Breaking Free from the Burden of Female Responsibility. Just from what the cover tells me, it's a book that I would certainly not recommend. Too Good for Her Own Good. Then there are two columns here. One is called From Impossible Expectations. Breaking free, in other words, from impossible expectations. And the other column, to freedom from being impossibly wonderful. Are you in one of those categories? Do you have impossible expectations for yourself? And do you wish freedom from being impossibly wonderful? And under the first column, from impossible expectations, there's a title, The Code of Goodness. Number one, be attractive. Number two, be a lady. Number three, be unselfish and of service. Number four, make relationships work. And number five, be competent without complaint. Now, that's the bad side, you see. But the good side, the code of balance, is number one, be comfortable. Number two, be direct. Number three, be responsive. Number four, be nurturing. And number five, be firm. Now, what I object to very strenuously in this frame of mind is that these things are set in opposition to each other, as though being attractive, being a lady, being unselfish and of service, making relationships work, and being competent without complaint is in direct opposition to being comfortable, direct, responsive, nurturing, and firm. Now, I might have to make an exception on that word comfortable, because we can't by any means always think about our own comfort. And it was interesting that Judy told me that this advertisement was inserted in the issue of a nursing journal. The authors or the publishers know whom to target, don't they? Women whose careers make them responsible for other people, whose careers are traditionally thought of as selfless and serving. Are those expectations really impossible? Ought we to want to break free of responsibility? The fallacies, which I think are inherent in this view of things, are that you're suffering because of trying and failing. You're too good for your own good. That's the title of the book. And that the secret of peace is assertion, self-assertion. Be direct, be responsive, be nurturing, be firm. And as I thought through these things, I thought, now, does the Bible say anything about these things? About that business of being attractive? Is there anything in the Bible about that? Well, there's not very much. It does say that the true adornment of a godly woman is not to be primarily in outward things, but to be in the heart and in the gentle and quiet spirit. But man looketh on the outward appearance, the Bible says, because man can't look at anything else. It's God and God alone who can look on the heart. And so when Joseph was called out of prison to appear before the king, he shaved and put on fresh raiment. When Esther was called into the king, when her turn came in the harem, she had spent a whole year on cosmetics and oils. Now, I am not saying that we ought to establish harems again, but we are to adorn the gospel. Outward appearance is a visible sign of the invisible reality. If we're sloppy and careless, we're not really being very kind to the people that have to look at us, are we? I think of outward adornment as being a favor that I'm doing somebody else, primarily. My husband certainly doesn't want to see me at the breakfast table with my hair in curlers and cold cream on my face and a dirty old housecoat. He would much rather see me clothed and in my right mind. What about that thing, be a lady? Well, I think that as women, we are meant to be feminine. Femininity is a gift from God. Be unselfish and of service. Is that an impossible expectation? Not with the help of God. We're told that we are to lay down our lives for one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Impossible, of course, by ourselves, but not with the grace of God. Be competent without complaint. Is that an impossible expectation? The scripture says, do all that you have to do without grumbling or arguing. Now, the things that nurses have to do are pretty disgusting, aren't they? Many of them. But most nurses are not grumbling about the things that they have to do. They may be grumbling about the pay they get or the hours they have to work nowadays, and people are encouraged to complain much more than they used to be. But a Christian is to do everything without grumbling or complaining. What about the right side, the other column, the code of what these authors call the code of balance? Freedom from being impossibly wonderful. Be comfortable. In other words, don't say no to yourself. Say yes to yourself. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Well, I don't know anybody that can find denying himself comfortable. We can't be comfortable all the time. But on the other hand, is there something immoral about sinking into a nice soft chair with a cup of tea? No. It's all in its proper place and proper time. But the effort to be comfortable ourselves rather than make other people comfortable, I think, is anti-Christian. The code of balance also says that we should be direct. Well, I'll go for that. Yes. But we are to speak the truth in love. We are to speak with grace and truth. Be responsive. I'll certainly go for that. Be nurturing. That requires sacrifice sometimes, doesn't it? And be firm. The Orthodox prayer that I pray in the morning says, teach me to act firmly and wisely without embittering and embarrassing others. So I hope you understand me. I'm not saying that I reject the code of balance and accept the code of goodness in opposition to it. What bothers me is that these two things appear to be in opposition. They're saying that women are too good for their own good. That's impossible. In God's economy, authentic selfhood is gained by surrender, not by self-assertion. By the surrender of my personal autonomy, my giving over. Now, is this just Elizabeth Elliot's opinion? Again, I do want to give you a scripture. In Philippians 2, we read, let your bearing towards one another arise out of your life in Christ Jesus. For the divine nature was his from the first, yet he did not think to snatch at equality with God, but made himself nothing, assuming the nature of a slave, bearing the human likeness revealed in human shape, he humbled himself, and in obedience accepted even death, death on a cross. Therefore, God raised him to the heights. He wasn't too good for his own good. And Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. The code of goodness, according to Jesus, will lead to the code of balance. We will be happier. We will have peace. We will learn to be direct and kind at the same time. We will be more responsive to people's needs. We certainly will be more nurturing because we will be a living sacrifice. May God help us to see that our aim in life is not our happiness, but our wholeness. Our wholeness means holiness. The will of God means joy.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.